Book of Acts tonight. Can you hear me? All right. Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 13 in your Bibles. And we'll start there this evening in just a moment and look forward to what God has for us from His Word. It's been a good day, and it's been a good summer. It's been a good year, and I'm looking forward to seeing what God does through the remainder of the year. Now, this morning, I mentioned to you that I wanted to update you on some of our ministries, and I'm excited about what God is doing in our church and our ministry. I remind you all the time that we don't always see everything that God is doing because we're right here. And I'm thankful that God uses our ministry. We have, of course, the tour group is out today. Brother Cheney's in New York. I think he's preaching up there, but it may be a mafia meeting. I don't know, but he's up in New York today, and so God uses our ministry. I want you to pray for the trip to Africa. And that is a week from tomorrow. And now, some things have changed with that. I am not going to be going on that trip. Y'all only raise enough money for one-way tickets. And so they're going to know. Just with everything going on, I felt it necessary for me to stay behind. Brother Cruz is going. I have complete confidence in Brother Cruz. And the Atkins are going. I have complete confidence in Brother Cruz. And so the Atkins are going. And then Mrs. Atkins' sister is also going. So I'm excited about that. I am disappointed that I'm not able to go because I really was looking forward to going. But just a combination of things, things that have transpired this summer, and then things the church is right in the middle involved in. I want you to do pray. Tomorrow morning, I'm dropping a packet off to the sheriff's office to ask them to correct the record from 15 years ago. I want you to pray about that. It is a very extensive, quite frankly, it is a very damning report of what transpired. And I like the sheriff. I want you to pray for Sheriff Cook. I believe she's doing a good job. I believe she's trying to clean up what has been done in the past. And so I don't want to bring a lot of that in there because now that I mentioned that, a lot of you are going to be thinking about that the whole service. And I don't need you to think about the whole service. I just need you to pray about that this week. And so be praying about that. I have complete confidence that it is where the Lord wants it to be. And I'm trusting Him to take care of that. And whichever way He chooses to take care of that, we will adjust from there. And so do pray for that. But because of that and just the ministry here, the things that I feel like I have to give my attention to, I've decided not to go on that trip this time. And so you do pray for that group that is going, that God would use them to be a help and encouragement. Even though I am not going, there's 400 ministry workers that are going to be there all over West Africa, and pray that God uses our group to be a blessing and a help to them, and I certainly want them to do so. So pray for that. There'll be other opportunities, other trips, and so I want you to take advantage of being a part of that. If God impresses upon you to give towards our missions program, please do so, and I'm sure you'll be blessed. I'm excited about Camp New Beginnings. Brother Montgomery has been up there working, and some other men have gone up there to work, and we're getting to the point, as I understand it, we have a room cleared out so that we can actually start constructing buildings. We're talking to some people who have the materials that we need, so pray for that as well. So far, God has provided everything that we need, starting with an 80-acre property. That's pretty important, and God has provided that. We have made plans to have camp on like 5, 6, 7 acres, and He gave us 80, and we thank the Lord for that. And so we're just praying that God, we are planning on having our camps there next summer, and so we are praying that God will just provide the materials as we need it. And so, thus far, He has done so, so pray to that end. I'm excited about that. Continue to pray for the Amanda Ranch and the Hensons. Of course, we've been praying for Brother Henson and his health, and there's some exciting things I think are very exciting going on kind of behind the scenes, and so I want you to continue to pray for there. But one thing with the Amanda Ranch that was presented recently, it's been a kind of an idea the Hensons have had, and then it kind of came to the forefront, is in addition to helping families who are struggling with grief,
who have experienced loss, giving a place of respite, all of those kind of things, helping strengthen them. And certainly God has blessed in that area. But God has kind of expanded it, if you will. And of course, we are involved in Christian education. And we believe in Christian education. And when I say we, that means me and everybody here believes in Christian education. And certainly in Bible college and the preparation of young people for their life. And so the idea came up of different scholarships for those that are going into Christian education, Bible college, those sorts of things. And so the idea came up recently that there be a scholarship established. And so the first one has been established and funded, and it's the Brian Healy Memorial Hope Scholarship. And so right now it's $1,000 a year, and it goes right to the institution that is designated. And so we as a board, we went ahead and voted to present this. And so the first recipient of the Brian Healy Memorial Hope Scholarship for $1,000 for North Florida Baptist College is Taylor Healy. Amen. Where's Taylor? There you go, buddy. So that's exciting to me to see how God continues to use that. And so you continue praying for all of these ministries, and we'll see what God does with those things in the future. Acts chapter number 13. Now, I want to continue into the message tonight with updating, laying out the future, a plan of ministry we're already involved in. And you say, what is that? It's the Great Commission. It's the purpose of the church. And I'm going to get a little ahead of myself. I believe that I'm so excited that Brother Cruz and the Atkins are going to Africa and the influence that we've had there. I'm honored and I'm excited about the influence that our church has had in the Caribbean, in those places there, even in Spanish-speaking nations. I'm thrilled at what God has allowed us to be a part of around the world. Brother Diocese, we're family, were here a few weeks ago, our missionaries to the Philippines, and we have scheduled for, I think it's 29, one of those years, having a Preacher's Delight Conference in the Philippines. And going over there and ministering to those pastors and Christians over there. And so I'm excited about what God is doing with our church with missions. But we also have a responsibility, and I'm also burdened about my own country. And one thing I am thrilled about with the way we have been able to operate our missions program is there are a lot of national pastors that we have partnered with, where we're going in Africa in a week, Brother Guampo. We are partnering with him and the nationals there to reach their people. I believe that is scriptural, that is effective. If we believe what the Bible says about missions, that means we as Americans have a responsibility not just to fund missionaries in other countries, but to reach America. And the hope of America is not in politics. It is in the local church. That is the hope of America. We know that. We understand that. And it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to fulfill what I believe the Bible teaches about reaching our nation. We know Acts 1:8, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost. It starts in Jerusalem. When God commissioned the church, it started in Jerusalem. And so we have a desire, we have a responsibility to reach our city with the gospel. Everybody with me? We're all on the same page here. I believe that churches start churches. That's what I believe. Sometimes, well, I'm called to go start a church somewhere. Well, what church is sending you? What church is behind that church plant? I'm not saying God doesn't use certain situations. I'm not saying that at all. But I believe a strict scriptural study and analysis shows that churches birth churches. You can trace it all the way back to Jesus Christ starting the first church. And it did not start in Rome, by the way. It started with Jesus Christ. So tonight we're going to look at that, and we're going to speak specifically. I'm going to lay a scriptural foundation, and we're going to do that in relation to the work that we are helping in Columbia, Tennessee. And that group of people, I remind you, the church they're a part of does not exist anymore. They've come out of that. They've tried to get together, form a new church, keep things going. They don't have a pastor. They don't have any oversight, if you will. They're just trying to do the best they can. They reached out to us, and we, of course, have been glad to help as much as we could. But I believe that it fits right in with not just the scripture, but something that I believe that we as a church are supposed to duplicate in the future. And I believe as a church, we ought to be starting other churches. I believe that's a responsibility that we have, not just here locally, but as God would use us in the future. And so I'm going to lay some things out tonight, and I'm going to tie it in with what I believe we as a church should do as we nurture this new church, as we help this new church, because right now it needs help. It does, by scriptural definition, it doesn't have all the things that a church has. And so we have a responsibility to help, and I'm going to lay that out tonight. And so I want us to look at Acts chapter number 13, verse number 1. Now they were in the church that was at, where are they? Antioch. I want you to make note of that. Certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, as Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manene, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Now we have the church at Antioch sending forth laborers into the world to establish and minister to churches. As people would get saved, they would gather together, and they were established as a church. Now, just to bounce around a little bit, if you read Paul's epistles, there were situations where there were people gathered together, but they had no pastor. They were looking to Paul for their oversight. Paul was not a pope. Paul was not the denominational control. But I'm going to show how that ties in to Scripture in the idea of churches starting other churches, and how this church plant in Columbia, that is our church plant in the state of Tennessee. Are you with me? And how it ties in tonight. And so let's ask the Lord as we talk about this idea of a church birthing a church. Father, I pray that you would use the scripture tonight. I pray that you would just give me clarity of mind and thought. And I pray that you would just use this as an opportunity for us to get a vision for what can be done. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you know me as your pastor, if you know what we believe as a church, I believe that every local New Testament church is independent and autonomous. I don't believe that a New Testament church is part of a convention. That does not mean we don't fellowship with anybody, but there is no oversight. There is no control. There's not some headquarters telling us what we can and can't do, who our missionaries are and aren't. And quite frankly, if you've been here and you've been paying attention, you know my response to that whenever somebody tries to provide oversight of our church. There is one person who provides the oversight of the Emmanuel Baptist Church, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has given us his instruction in God's word, and there's no group of men that know more than Jesus does. And he's very, very plain in his word how we are to operate. Part of the problem is we think we're smarter than God many times. And I believe every church is independent. I believe that they have their autonomy, meaning they're not under the authority of anyone else. You may say, well, who provides oversight? I mean, God provides pretty big oversight. Well, who's going to make sure everything is done right? There's checks and balances, but ultimately God does. And that the phrase that when I say things like under the authority of or providing oversight of, we have to understand in the context of birthing a new church, the church starting the church has to provide what is necessary for that church to survive. Are you with me? So that is what we are talking about. So I'm going to use a term that if it's not used correctly, it gives a definition that we don't like. And for sake of a church birthing a church, we have a mother church. We see Antioch birthing a church by sending out laborers. They are sending out from themselves. A group of men did not get together. This is why I think a Bible college ought to be under a local New Testament church. Well, it's a Christian college. It may be a Christian college. I don't mean it's a local New Testament church college. I believe in that. Here's a church birthing. A mother church nurtures that new birth until it's able to survive on its own. Are you with me? We would put a mother in jail. Her birthed the baby and then abandoned it. We would put a mother in jail who birthed the baby and refused to feed it, give it what it needs, provide for it, support it. Anybody out there? The same is true of a church. We have to understand our responsibility, and I'm laying this out for us tonight because I believe there's a lot of things we as God's church have gotten away from that are scriptural. And we have a wrong philosophy, we have a man's philosophy, we have a convention philosophy when we have gotten away from what the Bible actually says. And this is one of those things. Now, from a scriptural standpoint, it is not a ruling church for the sake of ruling. It nurtures it until it can live on its own. See, it can provide its, and by the way, this is important too, because just because you get together and say, I'm going to have my own church, doesn't mean it's a church. It doesn't mean it's a church at all. Well, we have a home church. Congratulations. What authority are you under? And I've faced this in the future. Some have come in and said, we want your blessing, but we're not under the authority of you or the church. And I was like, well, you got the wrong church. Because there are scriptural ways of, everybody with me, everybody okay? There are scriptural ways of doing things. See, there's a distinction that governs everything. That this church in formation has got to be that autonomous functioning church. That is a New Testament church without external governance. That doesn't mean it is that from day one. Because the scripture teaches that it was not that, it's not that from day one. I feel like I'm losing. Y'all with me? Now notice what I want to get to tonight. A church births a new church. Now look at our text. Where are we at? Antioch. Antioch is well known in Scripture for sending out. You with me? Barnabas, Saul, Paul. That's a pretty good, you know, starting churches. If there's a Paul out there, I'd like, tell me tonight. He was pretty successful. Where did he come out of? He came out of Antioch. Now I'm going to get ahead of myself. He comes back after a couple of years to report to where? Antioch. This is the Apostle Paul, who wrote much of the New Testament, is still reporting to the local church that sent him. That is Scripture. A missionary that goes out and does not want oversight of their local church is not a scriptural missionary. And I, for one, think we need to get back to Bible missions and quit offloading oversight to a mission board, who themselves are not under the authority of the local church. By definition, they're not scriptural. Now, if I had not already been kicked out of the independent Baptist movement before, that'll get me kicked out. But if we would all get back to Bible patterns, I think that would do us well. If Paul, the Apostle Paul, could place himself under the autonomy of a church, under the authority of a pastor, under the authority of a local assembly, what is our excuse, or what is someone's excuse for not doing that? Now, I want us to notice something. We're at Antioch, right? Let's go back to Acts chapter number 11. I want us to see a pattern. Acts chapter number 11. This all makes sense soon, I hope. Look with me at verse number 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. Where's the church? It's in Jerusalem. How do you think that church got there? Jesus, the apostles, his ascension, his commission, and they, who's they? The church in Jerusalem sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost, of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. So you have the church at Jerusalem sending Barnabas to Antioch. He found this group of people at Antioch and exhorted them, encouraged them. He taught them so they would cleave unto the Lord. So he discipled them. You could say it like that. He was full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and when he was there, what happened? Much people were added unto the Lord. Turn with me, or look with me at verse number 26. And when he had found him, he brought him, well, look at verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Now, If there was a pastor there, he's not mentioned. I would submit to you that there were a group of people that needed help and training to become a church. They spent a whole year with this group of people who had been saved, and they didn't have a man among them who had been called and trained and had the discernment and the wisdom and the experience to teach and train them. And so Barnabas and Saul spent a year with this group of believers, teaching them. That whole year they assembled themselves with the church. See it there? They are meeting, assembling with the church, and taught much people. And where were the disciples first called Christians? Antioch. That's the first place they were labeled those Christ followers. Because there's a group of people, and there was Barnabas, went and got Saul and said, we've been commissioned from the church in Jerusalem. We're going as far as Antioch. Now we're going to assemble with them, and we teach them for a year. Fast forward to chapter 13. In that church, Antioch is now doing what? They are now sending out men to do the same thing. How did that church get there that is well known for sending out men? It got there because that's how it all started in Jerusalem. See, this is what I've had to help the people in Columbia to understand. From a scriptural standpoint, I do not believe it's my responsibility just to find them a pastor. It's my responsibility for them as they assemble as a church grow to the point where they're healthy, they're thriving, they're growing, people are adding, and then when God sends the right man, they're ready to send men out from there as well. So if we just say, let's form a constitution and put somebody's name on it, and some guy said he's called to preach, and put him there and say, well, there we go. That's why we don't have a success in planting a church and a church planting movement, if you will, because I don't think we have we're not patient. If you don't have your cheeseburger in 90 seconds at McDonald's, you're ready to go. Not sure why you'd be there in the first place, but you're ready to go. We live in this fast, instant world. That's not the way God's work is. And let me jump ahead of myself to some young men and some young couples. If you're 23, 24, 25, well, I'm called to ministry, and I'm not doing what I think God wants me to do. I'm out of here. Well, you're proving that you're a novice, and you're full of yourself, and you're not, God help, I wouldn't stick you in the ministry. It takes time to lay that foundation, to disciple. Now let me ask you this. Do you think the Apostle Paul was a good teacher? I mean, Bill Leroy, was he good? Okay. Trying to think of someone who might have been there. I would dare say he was a good teacher. Barnabas, probably an asset. And they spent a whole year assembled with those people to establish them as a church. Might I say, because they got it right, we have the gospel today. And this is something that we as a church must do. So understand this church in Antioch, where they were first called Christians, where now it's well known. This passage is often used when there's ordinations, when there are times to send men out. It's the church at Antioch. But only after they had grown and were grounded did they send some out themselves. Now, grown and grounded does not mean a church has to have hundreds. But it needs to be able to be grounded in the faith and know what they believe and grounded and ready as a church. And might I remind us? And so that is the structure that we are setting forth in Columbia, Tennessee. Now, I've been praying for years about the starting of churches. You've heard me mention that. You know, this one God chose for us. I didn't choose it. Which, by the way, God's choosing them all. Here's a group of people who reached out to us and said, help us. So to get it to where we can help them, it's like we are starting a church. So tonight we're declaring we're starting a church in Columbia, Tennessee. All in favor? Oh, good, because it's done. It's already started. They're meeting right now. They reached out to us, probably very similar to these people who are saved, gathered together. We need to grow. We need to do something. And then the church at Jerusalem sending them to Antioch. And then Antioch sending out from there. And so we have to take, and I'll use the word oversight, but the better word is ownership. Just like we have Sunday school classes that meet off of this property, they are not independent of Emmanuel Baptist Church. If the Sunday school class meets in your home, under this authority, it is under the authority of the Emmanuel Baptist Church. Well, I don't like that. Well, start your own church then. And if you do it without being started by another church, you're already starting off backwards. If they meet anywhere, they're under. So we have several that meet in hotel, conference rooms, public schools. They are under the authority of the Emmanuel Baptist Church. So this work in Columbia, Tennessee, is under the authority of the Emmanuel Baptist Church. They refer to me as Pastor Neil. That's a scary thing for them and for me. So why is this important? This is advancing the cause of Christ. This is what we're commanded to do. Paul did not, if you study the ministry of Paul, he did not plant and depart. He returned to those young works and made sure they were strengthened. And only afterward ordained their leadership when they met the qualifications to be ordained. In between, there was leaders in the work, no doubt. It was a real work, but it was under delegated oversight. It was not yet self-governing. Look at Acts chapter number 14. Acts chapter number 14. Are we okay using the Bible tonight? Are we okay basing what we believe and practice actually on Scripture? Acts chapter 14, verse 22. Confirming the souls. Look at verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, in that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they had believed. So they would work under the authority, they would minister, grow, and it was the appropriate time they ordained and said, now we are turning everything over to you. And then they would go somewhere else. See, Titus chapter number 1. Titus chapter number 1. You know this scripture. Go ahead and turn here. Titus chapter number 1. Can you find Titus in your Bible? It's in the Old Testament. 3 of you were like, I knew I was in the right place. Titus chapter number 1. Verse number 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete. Why? That thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. There were believers in Crete, and the Apostle Paul sent Titus to do what? To get everything in order as a church. He was the representative, not just... Well, Paul sent him... Paul, under the authority as an apostle, by the way, there are no more apostles. But under the authority of God's established order, the church, get that church, organize that church, put everything in order the way it's supposed to be. Well, why wasn't it in order? They didn't know how to put it in order. They didn't know how to put it in order. You know, everybody has an idea of what a pastor is supposed to do, but unless you've ever pastored, it's a little different. It's a little, just like football season comes, and that coach, why did he call that play on third down? What an idiot. Well, he knows the left tackle can't block, and so he called the right play. Are you with me? It's easy for anybody to say, why do they do that? And that quarterback, I don't know why he missed that pass. Or maybe it's the 6'6", 350-pound guy in his face. Maybe that had something to do with it. You get the point I'm making. And this doesn't mean that there's a caste system. It just means that God is equipped, and God and Paul had paid his dues, and God used him in a specific way. And now here comes Titus, who was mentored by Paul. And now Paul is saying, under the authority that is granted to him by Scripture, go to Crete to these believers and organize and put in order. And while you're there, under the authority of the church, ordain pastors to govern and pastor in those churches. And it was then they would become independent churches. See, things are wanting, so there has to be a delegated man. There has to be somebody. Say, Pastor, where are you getting to? Is it any different to have a group of people in another city that says, would you come and would you help us, teach us, train us under the authority of a church, establish us? Does this make sense? So what is it going to take? It's going to take us fulfilling our scriptural responsibility, birthing a church, if you will, and coming alongside of it and helping them get to a place where they can function on their own. You say, well, what's wrong with them? Why can't they function on their own? Every church that's ever started has started and has needed help. And by the way, there's been such part of our responsibility is to keep the wrong man from getting in there. There are churches that would be better off watching our live stream than who they have pastoring them. Because they're a hireling. I'm not being unkind. It's just truthful. And so there has to be time. This is why, and I'm just bouncing all around tonight, and I hope that's okay. Some of you aren't paying attention anyway, so it doesn't really matter. This is why it's important for you young men and you young couples to understand something. There's one place in Columbia, Tennessee. There are people watching the live stream right now. They don't have a church to go to in their city. You pick a city, and I guarantee you there's a handful of people there that if I could say, I'm going to send somebody there to meet with those believers, to assemble something, to get something going, a group of people would come together to start a church. They're not watching just because of my winning personality. They're watching because they don't have a choice. So who, you young men, over the next few years, who am I going to be able to say, I need you to go here under the authority of this church to minister to help this group of people? And if God keeps you there, God keeps you there. But I think it's scriptural to say, go teach, assemble, train, and in a year, come back and report. Put the things in order. Let's train up. See, we got to get out of this mindset. Some of this, you don't understand what is going on out there, and this will give you a little bit of a picture. Churches, congregations, God's church that He died for are languishing. They're at the mercy of a resume. Let me send a resume, and this is not a criticism of these churches. They're desperate. You read in the scripture when Paul tells those people he can't, they're longing for him to be there. We want the teaching. We want the care. And there are churches that are desperate, and they're dependent and reliant on a resume. I don't find resumes in scripture. I find a church sending men to put the things in order. And then when the time comes, they have a man to ordain to take that work. There's a scriptural precedence that I think we have gotten away from. And quite frankly, there's some of you young men, I hope you get a hold of this. And I certainly am not going to send you out. You can't even make your bed. I'm not going to send you out. But some of you ought to get your head out of the clouds or turn off your game system and say, Pastor, I want to walk by your side and you train me. Stick me with the staff men. Put a book in my hand. You're not going to have to beg me to enroll in classes another semester. Let me get what I can get and be trained. because I don't have all the answers, but you might could plug me in somewhere so that some things could be put in order. And maybe you get plugged in and God keeps you there. Or if I have to, somebody says, I'm going to send you there. Somebody's got to fill in their Sunday school class. Somebody's got to take their responsibilities. Let's just be honest. If God has placed us part of the church, everybody in the church is supposed to be involved in what I'm talking about right now. Everybody. Well, I'm not called. You don't find a call to participate in what God established the church to do if you're part of the church. The church is established to fulfill the Great Commission and reach the world. You're part of the church. God placed a pastor as the oversight of that church, the under-shepherd. God uses that man to lead a congregation, but he doesn't do it by himself. To do this, you've got to have other men. You've got to, and by the way, it's not just men. It's the ladies by their side. It's the sacrifice that's made. And God help if there's a man God would use, and the wife don't want to give up her Amazon orders. So everybody's not supposed to go to Bible college. Show me in the Bible, supposed to go to Bible college. Well, I'm laying out a pretty good argument right now. Some form or fashion, we've got to get out of this mindset of let me shortcut everything. We've got to have a vision that says, well, Pastor, there's only Columbia, Tennessee right now. There's a lot more. You know, there's cities and there's towns in this country that have no Bible preaching church. There are people, though, that would gather together and say, send us somebody. So those who are sent remain accountable. We've had missionaries we sent out in the past that did not want to remain accountable to their pastor and sending church. This will help somebody say, what happened to so-and-so? They didn't want to remain accountable to you. And if you're sitting, see, we think we have authority. What I'm saying to you tonight, I do not have authority outside of my call and my position as your pastor. And my authority comes from the scripture tonight. I don't have authority otherwise. There is a reporting back. Then the day comes when it becomes independent. Dr. Lee Robertson did this much in establishing chapels. And he'd send the men training for the ministry to pastor that chapel. And then when it got to the place and they were under the care of that church and they provided work and they provided the labor and even the oversight from finances to everything. And then when they were established and there was a man that could take that work, they would cut them off, if you will, and they would become independent. That is Bible. That is scripture. So this is something that I believe in. This is something that God has brought our way. And this is something that we all need to be involved in. That's why it is important for you to stay faithful. It's important for you to give. It's important for you to be involved in missions. It's important for you to pray. It's important. It's important for you to make yourself available. Pastor, I don't think God's called me to do that. Titus, we don't find in Scripture where Titus is like, I had an all-night prayer meeting. And in that prayer meeting, and this is, some are going to bristle at this, but I got more Scripture than you do. And oh, he had an all-night prayer meeting, and all God spoke to him and said, this is what God has told me, and I'm going to go to Crete. Well, let me tell you how Paul got, or Titus got his call from God. Paul said, Titus, you're going to Crete. And you know what Titus did? God's sending me to Crete. Now, in today's world, he'd be criticized, well, Paul is God to you, and this and that. Paul represented God in that authority. And Titus said, guess what? He went home to Mrs. Titus and said, God has called us to Crete. Well, how do you know? Paul said. Well, you know, I don't have peace about that. It says there's brute beasts there. And here's the thing. I still believe this, whether you do or not. And I know this to be true of the men who sit on this platform. And the men, if I went to them and said, this is where I think you ought to go, this is what you ought to do, I believe they would do it. The only one safe is Colin. I mean, I guess he could go. I believe they would do that. And to their credit, there are men on our staff that's I'm here until you tell me to leave. Some have gotten close. And the day may come, and it's likely to come. But I wonder with the young couples, I wonder with some of you young men, what are you, what kind of a foundation are you laying that would give your pastor any confidence at all? If I don't have confidence, I could even give you a Sunday school class. You say, well, I have a right, I can do these things, it's summertime, this or that. But let me tell you, you got a pastor that's watching. And if we can't grow in our character to say, I believe God has placed me here, God's put me in this church, God's given me the pastor as a part of his church, I'm to prepare myself to make myself available to whatever God would have me to do. And how am I going to know what God's going to do? Well, God will probably impress upon the heart of the pastor. Everybody all right? We got to make ourselves available. So our goal, let me tell you, our goal is to help get this church established. God to send a pastor at the right time. And I've been very clear, I'm not in a hurry. And go from authority over to fellowship with. Meaning the daughter that's been birthed by the mother is established enough to function on their own. And then what will they be expected to do? Same thing we're expected to do as a church. So what we're needing to do, what we're going to do is I'm going to, as much as I can, travel back and forth at the beginning and establish and teach and train some things. I mentioned this to our pastoral staff meeting the other day, I'm going to use some of the men to go back and forth and to teach and to train. Thankfully, there's a direct flight from Jacksonville to Nashville, Tennessee, that you can be there in an hour and a half. And so I'm not going to miss services to do this. This is where having a Thursday night service helps. I'm going to take a lot of midweeks, fly up, fly back, and it's a pretty cheap ticket. Now, there will be an occasion, and I'm going to say an occasion, I may miss a Sunday morning or I may miss a Sunday night, but it's not going to be a frequent thing. I may send some of the other staff men. So whoever gets on my nerves, that's who's going. But it's under the authority and the oversight of this church to teach and train and to reach those people. And I believe that God has blessed this church the way he has. I believe that God has a future for this church when it comes to this. I believe he's given us a training ministry. And just so everybody knows, I'm going to be 100 times more involved in the college starting this fall. meaning I'm going to be on this property almost every day. And it's time for some of our young people, and I'm putting pressure on them. I'm not scolding them. We have great young people. But it's time for us to be praying, Lord, what would you have me do? How would you prepare me? There may be somebody, a young man, a young couple, who say, look, God, or Pastor, I don't feel like God has called me to necessarily go start a church, or God has called me to be a missionary, but I think I might could do something like that. The point is God opens doors and opportunities for us. We've got to all be ready. And here's the thing. When I said that I'm going to be traveling some back and forth, and I miss a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, I could see it all over you. And you know what? I'm glad you weren't like, yes, let's vote right now. Do it. Because I'm your pastor. But right now, I'm their pastor. Just like Antioch. Just like Jerusalem. And they need to be nurtured until God raises up another man. So here's the solution. As everybody steps up, I don't have to be gone as much. I don't have to do it. Now, let me tell you, I want to do it, and I'm not going to leave you high and dry. You understand what I'm saying tonight? I really believe that what we're doing in Columbia, Tennessee can be duplicated over and over and over, and I believe it's going to. I believe this is just the start. It may be as close as someplace like Nocatee. It may be as close as one of these towns within 2 hours of us. It may be in another state like Columbia, Tennessee, but I believe there's a scriptural pattern. Go as far as Antioch. And then we find Antioch sending out. Paul, Titus, you're going to Crete. Well, God didn't speak to me. He spoke to me. And if God puts you under my leadership and God has joined our hearts, then God is in that. Now, Paul had peace about that. Titus had peace about that. God used Titus to do that. I know tonight's a little bit different. But I wanted to share my heart with that and help us understand what I think God has for us to do. Now, I believe our church is growing. Our church has grown. Our church is continuing to grow. I think dealing with some of the things we're dealing with as a church is going to free us in so many ways. And I think it has to be done. But I think we're going to continue doing what it is that God has for us to do. And then as God raises up, we'll send them out. And I believe it's important for our country. We say it all. How many of you have ever said something to the effect, well, if there was an Emmanuel Baptist Church in every town, it'd be better off? Anybody, something like that? You travel the world, I can't find anywhere to go to church. Well, why don't we do something about that? Why don't we take advantage of that? And we're not enough. So I don't have enough years left in me to do this and this across this great nation. But I believe that we might can leave enough that if they do it, it's that multiplication. I could really make a difference. So you pray about that. And thankfully, there's cheap direct flights on Southwest Airlines back and forth from there. And you pray for those people, and you pray that God will strengthen us, strengthen me. I promise to take care of myself. And this is a day in our church that I think God's going to bless us for. And He's going to bless us because of it. And so we've got to keep reaching people here. You say, well, Pastor, why don't you send me someplace? Well, I may want to send you to your neighborhood. That's a good place to go. We're doing that with our Sunday school classes. See, it's all ties together. This is what we got to get back to. There really is no foreign missions in local missions. It's just the Great Commission. It's just the purpose of the church. Now, I know we designate that, but it's all the same, really. And so somebody who'll go across the world, they got to make sacrifices to do that. They got to learn new cultures. They got to learn language. But that's no different if God calls one of our young men to the north. They got to learn new culture. They got to learn a new language. They got to deal with the hard hearts. I'm going to start preaching here in a minute. I want to be a church that God would look to and be pleased with. And God has given us great favor. The fact that there are those reaching out to us and saying, would you help us? Would you help us? Let's pray about this tonight. Pray how God would use you. If nothing else, realize the importance of what we're doing. This all ties in with these messages on spiritual health on Thursday night. We got to stay spiritually healthy so that we as a church can be what we need to be to send others. Father, I pray that you use the message tonight. I don't know that I communicated very well.